everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Talk Podcast. And yes, as you can see, a returning guest, friend of the program, Gary Goldman, still lying down. I was going to be upset, Gary, I'm not going to lie, if you weren't horizontal for this episode after you set the tone during your first appearance on the Celtics Talk Podcast. How are you?
I'm excellent. I mean, I will explain this repose. I forget who the author was that I admired who wrote on his bed, but I write on my bed. So I'm always finding myself making appointments and then not having enough time to collect myself and set up in the living room. So we live in New York City. So there's not a lot of space for people outside of the billionaire set. So I consider myself very fortunate to have as much square footage as I have, but it requires me to cede the living room to my wife frequently.
Well, you're a very tall man. So it's easier to go that way than to go vertically. Totally. I want to start with this. What a week for Gary Goldman. I saw you on Seth Meyers.
Yes.
You played a small little place called Carnegie Hall the other night, which I want to ask you about. And now the Celtics Talk Podcast.
Yes, it's awesome, and also we nearly swept Cleveland in Cleveland, and they're a very good team, and we beat the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis, but still, this could have been a 3-0 weekend for us. We're on a nice streak.
Yeah, well, I saw Seinfeld at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, and he came out, and that was his whole skit. The whole start of it was Wallingford, and just like riffing on he had made it because he was playing the Oakdale Theater. So I do want to start here. I want to get basketball, but like Carnegie Hall, that's kind of a big deal. What was that like?
It's a really big deal, and it's the first place I've played that my mother has heard of. So that was huge for her because I really believe at this point in my career, I'm just doing things so that my mother will have something to tell her other Yenta friends, because it's sort of diminishing returns as you get on TV. It's like, all right, I'm going on Seth Meyers, but it's not as exciting for me as the first time I went on. So I always like to try to get other younger comedians on there so they can get that, but also to share with my mother, who gets great excitement out of calling all her friends and telling her I'll be on TV. So I was so proud of getting Carnegie Hall, of course, but nobody was as proud as my mother, I don't think.
Do you get nervous at all?
No.
In that room?
That's no. Incredible. It really is, because I was thinking about it before I went on. I thought, I have no right to be nervous because they're all coming to see me, and they're my audience. I've been so lucky to cultivate an audience over the years of basically people who got better than a 3.5 in their GPAs. So I'm really fortunate that somehow these people were drawn to me, and so I don't get nervous before the live performances. Sometimes a TV appearance, I'll get a little bit nervous because I can never predict how those audience will behave, because they're definitely not there to see me. They're there to see somebody much more famous than me. But with my audiences, I know what I'm getting, and they like me. So it's pretty easy.
But you crushed it on Seth Meyers. The Chipotle story warmed my heart. You said you go every other day. Do you have the Chipotle card?
No, I don't have the Chipotle card, but over the years I've gotten so many gift cards because I talk so highly of Chipotle that only about every other visit do I actually put any money out.
So Danny Ainge had the card, and I was fascinated. Like, he would use it in every city we went to. People in Milwaukee are like, oh my God, Danny Ainge. Like, I thought maybe there'd be some diminishing returns. Like, they wouldn't know who he was in these random outposts. No, everybody knew who Danny Ainge was, and they gave him his free burrito. And I have never been more jealous of somebody in my life based on that, on that card. Have you been able to watch any go for it. I want to hear about Chipotle.
Yeah. I wanted to say something regarding the Ainges. I imagine, and I don't know his, his upbringing very well, but I imagine that much like me, Danny grew up in a thrifty family, and you don't get rid of that. I still, to this day, find myself saving the slivers of soap at the end of the bar and fusing it onto the bar. And I always ask for no ice whenever I go for soda and things. So I imagine that that's what happened with Danny, that he's never been out able to outgrow the thriftiness.
Yeah, I don't know about that because I think he listed his home in Wellesley for quite $1 million after he stepped out as Celtics president of basketball operations. And he has the nicest golf simulator I have ever seen. And I
Okay.
am quite jealous. But I do, like, look, you have a Chipotle card, you're going to use it. So for him, are you able to watch any basketball while you're out touring? Like, are you able to keep intact with the Celtics?
Yeah, I've watched all but a few games because I DVR when I work at night, and so when I come back usually on Sunday or Monday, I spend the day catching up on the games, and it's lucky because I can fast forward through the commercials and some of the free throws. Sometimes I'll fast forward through free throws because the players are making them with great regularity these days. So, but I'm pretty on top of the season. I don't get to watch a lot of out of town games because I just don't have the time when I say out of town, teams that aren't the Celtics. So
Yeah.
I but tonight I'm going to watch Brooklyn versus the Dubs, so I'm looking forward to that.
So you mentioned free throws. The New York Post had a five things to know about Gary Gulman. And was that a true story? 144 out of 145?
It
No,
is not.
they were all jokes.
There was only one true story in there, and I am used to the NY Post publishing false things, so I wanted to go one in Rome. So only one of the things that I said was true. I was never a backup dancer with Big Daddy Kane, and my grandfather didn't invent adhesive googly eyes. The only thing that's true is that I live in Harlem on the same block that Big L grew up on and was actually murdered on. But that was the only truth in the New York Post story. But I was an outstanding free throw shooter in high school, and I continue to be. I think I have the right sized hands to shoot free throws well because I think that holds back guys like Shaq and
Yeah.
Giannis. It's almost like when normal sized hand people shoot Nerf basketball. I think it must feel like that to them.
It's so true. So I really wanted to believe that one though. I was like, if, which one of these is the truth? And I knew you lived in Harlem, so I kind of figured that was the one, but the backup dancer was even better. But what you were the most positive person about the 2020-2021 Celtics last year. And you actually, I needed that because it was a rough year watching this team. How are you feeling about this year's team so far?
Last year was frustrating, but I believe that, and if you notice this, all four teams that made it to the finals in 2019, 2020, they got knocked out in either the first or second round because there was no off season and there were all these regulations. It was just an incredibly stressful campaign. And so watching them this year, it's going to be incredibly frustrating for JT because he was so great in the Olympics and he's been struggling shooting this year, but I don't think it's going to last the entire season. I mean, I over the years I've realized that the games really start on Christmas, and I think that's been my theory this year. So the fact that they're at 500, I think is very promising, and they're doing that without Jalen. And with a new coach, which I think sometimes it works one way where the new coach is just starts off and is winning every game, and sometimes it's a learning process. So I remain positive. I have to admit I was very frustrated watching for JT last night, watching him miss, but he made a couple of threes, and it's so frustrating because a lot of them are going in and out. It's just micrometers of misses, and so it's frustrating. But I really see I really see some great things from Schroeder and Al Horford. It's great to have him back, and so I'm very optimistic about this season. And unlike every other Boston fan, they don't have to win a championship to make me happy. They just have to exceed expectations. And also, I can watch Jaylen Brown and Tatum shoot jumpers all day long.
It's so funny you say that, because that has been Brad Stevens' thing. When a team has all that success, right, there's this becomes expectations, and we all want them to take that next step, be in the finals, win a championship and all that. But Brad Stevens is like, sometimes the best thing is just being a team that people want to watch, that yes. you can embrace, that you can wrap your arms around. Yeah. I have seen signs from this team now blowing 19-point leads against the Cleveland Cavaliers, not a way to get us to embrace you, but the defense is there. Can
the defense
they,
has do you been think they excellent. Can make,
yes. Can they make yes. that their identity?
I don't know that it has to be their identity, because I think the scoring is gonna come around. And I think if you said that the thing that we have to worry about is making baskets, I think that's a great trade-off, because last year it was so frustrating how inconsistent their defense was and how it wasn't there every night. But they choked the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. And I think, listen, the Eastern Conference is powerful this year, and there are so many strong teams, and the way the Chicago Bulls are playing, and even the way the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing without some of their better players, I mean, they're going yeah. to be contenders. So I'm very positive, and the Knicks look great, and I'm reminded of that season where we lost Gordon Hayward in the first game of the season, and mm-hmm. Kyrie before the playoffs, and guys like Terry Rozier and a rookie Jason Tatum and Grant Williams, they all exceeded our expectations by miles, and I see that happening perhaps with Romeo this year mm-hmm. and Josh Richardson and also potentially seeing Aaron Nesmith playing at a higher level as he gets more confidence, because you know from watching these guys over the years, the mental game is a big component of this at this level.
100%. And I mean, even with Tatum, right? Like, there's something where he's yeah. overthinking everything at this point, because his yes. shots aren't falling. And I know he's frustrated. You can see him defensively not getting back, and that's frustrating for fans right. too. But, you know, the last thing I worry about is Jason Tatum making shots. It's going to happen,
of
like
course.
You said.
Of
you know?
Course. And he tipped away a lot of balls last night. Mm-hmm. He played excellent defense. And I mean, the last couple minutes of the game, he was very valuable as somebody on the wing, as they sliced him up the middle last night. It was really nice to watch that Tatum didn't have to carry the last 2 minutes on his back. So I was proud of the way they played in that game, because again, it was on the road mm-hmm. and Cleveland had a lot of confidence coming off that third quarter comeback the other night.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon. We're kind of waiting for the injury update on Rob Williams. I don't know if you're aware. Like, so there are things I love in life, my family, my children, and Rob Williams. So yes. I've sort of like been on edge all day. You know, I'm snapping at people because waiting to find out if he's going to be okay. Am I irrational when I say he could be beyond like Jason and Jaylen, maybe the most important player on this team because of how different he is and the style of play?
I don't think that's too much to put on him. I think he has an impact like Rodman used to have with the with the Pistons and the Bulls. Only he's not a head case, and he's more reliable. But I know how you feel with regards to these players' condition, because I remember in the late 80s, my day was colored by whether Larry Bird's back had flared up in practice, and it would just it's so interesting how much our mood is affected by these guys who are not in our homes, they're not in our families, but they bring us so much joy. And Robert Williams, when he is healthy and playing with confidence, I mean, he's a game changer completely.
So Al Horford has turned back the clocks, and it's funny. Yes. Now that I'm old, when I sit here and scream about like, oh my God, 35-year-old Al Horford is doing things, I like stop and I think, and I'm like, I'm old now, and like it's maybe I shouldn't be as amazed. Like 35 is young.
But we
make him seem like a dinosaur. Are you surprised? What is in the water in Oklahoma City? I don't know if you've ever played a show in Oklahoma City. Is there something there that rejuvenates and revitalizes? Because the only thing I can come up with is that Al was so bored in Oklahoma City that he had nothing to do but get treatment, and this somehow revitalized his knees.
I think two things. One, one of my best shows of my entire Great Depression tour was in Oklahoma City. It was in this this small theater. It probably sat like 400 or 500, and
the Sonic headquarters, because that's the only building that could hold that many people. I once tried. Okay, I'm totally stealing your story here, but no, I went to. There's very few things in Oklahoma City, so I'm like Googling where can I go. And the Sonic Corporation, like the fast food joint, which we don't have a lot of up here in Massachusetts, although I think they put one up in your Peabody area. So
there is one in Peabody on Route 1. Yeah.
So again, I've gone on 7 tangents on this story. Anyway, I decide I want to go get a Sonic T-shirt. So I walk into the Sonic headquarters. But evidently, you're not supposed to just walk into the Sonic headquarters. You have to be invited to have the Route 44 iced tea in this mansion of a brick building in the downtown area. And so literally two security guards came and took me out. As I said, I'm just looking for a T-shirt. And they said, no, you shady looking man, you need to leave.
Wow.
So, yeah. I don't hold that against Oklahoma City. I just don't know where. I'm assuming you played a much nicer venue there. But that the building was quite large. And I said, this seems like the biggest building in Oklahoma City. But the show was good there?
The show was unbelievable there. And all I'm picturing perhaps what was going on is people who dress as stylishly as you in a place like Oklahoma City, you come off like a DC Batman villain. So you sort of a takeoff of the Riddler combined with some of the other lesser known villains there. But it was a great show. The only thing I'm thinking with people like Al Horford, who saw his father's conditioning over the years and how important that was to him and athletes over the years, is that Tom Brady and athletes like him have sort of expanded the limitations of these sports, and that you can get an extra few years, and with Tom Brady, an extra 10 years out of your body if you are as dedicated to it as he is. And so I'm hoping that's what's happening with Al, and will happen with guys like Durant and some of the other. I mean, LeBron is still viable athletically, and so I'm hoping that'll happen more and more, and it's worth the investment in time and also money that I'm sure they have to. It's not free to train like this and to eat like this, but I know it's worth it, because I always think, what the heck do you do after you stop being a professional athlete that is going to be as rewarding and as exciting?
So you are at the Wilbur Theater on Friday night, right?
Yeah, it's sold out, so I don't want to give people any false expectations of being able to go. And I please do not buy the StubHub tickets because they're overpriced. You should never pay more than $40 to see any comedian who is alive. If George Carlin were to come back, or Lenny Bruce or Richard Pryor, then by all means pay $250 on StubHub. But I'll be back, and also this show will probably be on HBO or a similar platform at some point. But Jonathan reached out to me about being on here, and even though I don't have to sell tickets, I wanted to come on and talk nice. Basketball with somebody as enthusiastic as you.
Well, my big concern is, like, and you had no way of knowing this because all the dates are rescheduled and everyone's just trying to line this up, but you're on the same night as Celtics Lakers.
I think the Celtics Lakers are the day after, because I'm day there after? Friday. Am I
what night
I'm there, I'm there Friday night.
Who they playing Friday night? I thought it was the same night. Am I wrong?
I think the Celtics are playing the Lakers on Saturday the 20th. Am I wrong? Well,
I don't know.
You probably know better than me, but
you would think I would know. I'm going to pull up the schedule right now. I'm gonna have to do some editing if this is the case. Let me pull up the take a look right now. No, Friday the 19th, Los Angeles Lakers at TD Garden. You are going head to head with the greatest rivalry in sports.
Oh man, what a bummer!
No, were you hoping to get to that game?
I wasn't hoping to get to that game because it's too big an ask. But one thing that I wanted to ask you about is, how is Heather Walker doing?
Okay, so I've hesitated, because when someone's going through that, like, you can send your positive vibes, but I never want to overstep. There's a lot going on, but I'm lucky enough to have her Facebook page, and oh my God, well, you want to talk about someone who is an inspiration?
Yes,
who takes a situation that would wear down most people and embraces it to the fullest. Heather Walker, and like to the point where I'm trying to sit down my kids and go, you don't understand, like, you need to see the positive energy that is emitting from her, from the people around her. Just every time I see someone from the Celtics now, which is very rarely because I'm not around much, but
right.
they're like, she called into a meeting, she did this, she did that. And it's overwhelming, because Heather Walker is one of the nicest people on earth, and
yes.
has meant so much just for all of us as journalists, just trying to get 2 minutes with a player. She's one of the few who will actually go grab them and say, hey, talk to this person. And I am forever in debt. And I'll give you this quick story. So one of the things she always organized was, we would go up to Canobie Lake Park in August or September up in Salem, New Hampshire, and ride the rides with like one Celtics player, like Gershon Yabusele or Kelly Olynyk would go up there, and they'd ride the flume. And it's so, you know, fun to see a 7-footer, you know, go down yes. a water ride and all that. But it was my favorite day of the year. And, you know, I my kids wanted to go up there for a friend's birthday party at the Halloween. And so took some pictures because they're doing this Move for Heather movement. And, you know, for me, that's a place that I always think about Heather for setting yeah. that event up. And nothing but that's really cool that you brought that up, because it's long overdue. Have you had interactions with her? Because she is literally the nicest person on earth.
Yeah, I mean, I did a local Nesson TV show where I had comedians on, and then we did sketches, and we did a couple of things with the Celtics, with Scalabrine, and with Lucky the Leprechaun, and she and Dana Barrows, and she mm-hmm. organized it, and more than any other team. And this was a season that they were going to the NBA championship. More than any other team in the city, she was accommodating and helped me out and laughed while I was recording, which means the world to every comedian that somebody is laughing at what they're saying and doing. And I've stayed in touch with her over the years. She's so charming and universally adored
yeah.
there by everyone she interacts with, that I was just devastated when I found out she was ailing. So I'm glad to, but it doesn't surprise me that she is attacking this with the same type of vigor.
Yeah, and for those who aren't aware, she has a rare form of brain cancer, but she's getting amazing treatment. They are trying some experimental avenues to aggressively attack this, and we were all just rooting for her, family, two young daughters, and you don't see a lot of these people behind the scenes at the Celtics, but you know, the players, while they play the game, and like, this is, it takes a lot for this machine to run. And right. If you're just running, you know, like poor Heather had to do all of Enes Kanter's social events and everything like that. And that's a full-time job for anybody. It's a remarkable woman. I miss just seeing her around the team. She's just a magical person. And again, you know, there are people that you come in touch with that everybody universally glows about how positive they are. And she's right there. And Gary Goldman's up there as well. Like I said, I was down about this team last year, but I walked away from that, from your talk. And even this year, there's been a little bit of the roller coaster, but I'm optimistic. Have you enjoyed Ime Udoka the early days?
Yes, absolutely. I really love his attitude, and I love the fact that he has a connection to Nia Long, because my wife's theater teacher in high school was Nia Long's father.
In
Trenton, New Jersey. So she's been a fan of Nia since she was a kid, and I've been a fan of her since I first discovered her in 1991 in John Fresh Singleton's Prince. Boys in the Hood.
Oh, okay.
And before that in Fresh Prince. So I've been a fan. So it's just, it's really cool what a small world it is. And also his ancestry regarding the coaches he's assisted, yes, is really, really impressive. And I just admire him a great deal, and I feel really good about his instincts, and he's just had some bad luck. I mean, some ball in any overtime game, and especially in that first game against the Knicks, a bounce here and a bounce there, and mm-hmm. this is a team that could only have three or four losses.
Yeah, and if Jason Tatum isn't in a slump, if Jaylen Brown doesn't get hurt, like, we're talking completely different about this team and all that.
Totally.
All right. I want to wrap up with a few non-basketball things.
Okay.
So you new show, right? Born on Third Base.
Yeah.
So how does this work? Cause you still have some dates from the old tour that are rescheduled. Do you have to change the material night to night, or do you just go with one show? Like, I'm fascinated by this.
I mean, the truth is that when I do a place that hasn't seen me in 2 years, I'm able to do like a 2-hour show. Because they didn't see me even with the previous tour. So I have so much material that they haven't seen, and I haven't put it on TV. But with Born on Third Base, it'll probably be closer to an hour and a half in Boston, because like, I did a show in Beverly, Massachusetts in September, and I did like 45 minutes about Peabody, Beverly, Salem, and Lynn, just mm-hmm. completely specific jokes about the, for instance, the car wash on Endicott Street in Danvers was the closest I got to the Space Mountain in Disney World. That was the most exciting ride I ever went on, because it was a really solid car wash. But
much cheaper
I love going back to I love going back to Boston, because only people in this area get the references to say Bernie and Phil and Barry and Elliot and the Hilltop and all these local references.
Oh, that's, so what is like one thing you have to do when you come home?
I guess it would be seeing my mom's friend Joni, who used to watch after me when I was a little kid. I always visit her, and she was front row in Beverly, and she lives in Danvers. So I always go visit her and my Auntie Judy and my Uncle Bob, and just I have a lot of, I'm so fortunate that I have been able to maintain contact with so many of my friends and people in my life since I was a little kid.
Is your childhood bedroom still intact or anything like that back home, or is it, did
mom, I mean, for the most part, there is a great stash of my sports card collection, as well as an array of old school Larry Bird posters. And also my big thing was I was a fan of the Celtics, but I also loved obscure NBA posters. So I had like the Supreme Court from Nike,
yes,
and Dr. Duncan Stein and the Iceman and just great. I had a great poster collection that remains intact. So, and I also have this great autographed poster of Larry Bird and Julius Erving from an Apple game that they co-starred in. It was a video game, Larry Bird versus Dr. J. People don't understand. People understand even more that Larry Bird was a star than that Dr. J was sort of the original NBA international star. I mean, he was really, really ahead of everyone else except later on Jordan.
It's remarkable. And if you could find those posters or that game or anything, like you're sitting on a gold mine, you know, like every time I see some, you know, Bill Russell's about to do an auction and I can't even imagine the money that they're going to fetch for some of those items, but all that childhood nostalgia, oh my gosh.
I remember in the summer after seventh grade, myself, my buddy, Jason Hurwitz, Greg Baker and Kevin Lamazny, we stood in line for 3 hours at Leechmere to meet Larry Bird, because he was signing posters from that video game, and he was wearing a velour Converse tracksuit, and he shook my hand and signed my poster. It was of course one of the great memories of my life.
I just love that Leechmere sends me down a whole row. We had one at the Greendale Mall in Worcester, and for people that I hesitate to say, it's like a small Best Buy back in the day. Yeah. It was like more appliances and
but it had albums and tapes and it was awesome.
Man, malls were great. Now malls aren't a thing anymore. Like, my kids don't understand. They're it's all outdoor malls now, and you don't get the joy of walking through the dilapidated cow doors or
so true.
So all right, well, I had one. I was gonna do one more for you. I had one great one. I wanted to tell you this story. So not that you need to, your tires pumped or anything, but you get done that interview and I say, wow, like Gary Golman came on the Celtics Talk podcast, you know, but you never know if anyone who's listening to the Celtics Talk podcast, this isn't an HBO special. And, but for 2 weeks after that, people were coming up to me and talking about Dottie and Sky commas. And it's so funny, cause like, I was aware of it, but it's just weird when people are coming up and talking to you about contractors and stuff. But you have quite a following up here. I've never felt, so quite starstruck, like, but my friends thought it was a really cool deal that I got to talk to Gary Golman. So
I'll tell you what, that doesn't, I'm at a point in my career, it doesn't get old, man. It feels good to be, it's at a cool enough level where it's not intrusive. So I'm really grateful. And I have really cool, polite, thoughtful fans. So that's cool.
They really are. And I want to leave you on this. What's it like living in New York? Do you have to deal with like New York Knicks loving people in Harlem?
I'll tell you what. I don't mind it, because the Knicks are, they have a good history, and the Knicks fans are pretty knowledgeable and they're dedicated. And they remind me of sort of Red Sox fans up until 2003, where they're just, they knew at the end of regulation this year at the Knicks game that the Knicks were going to have to win in overtime near the end. They knew that something crazy was going to happen because everything was going too well for them. And it reminds me of how I felt when Aaron Boone hit that home run against Wakefield that time. So yeah, the Knicks fans get it. The Brooklyn Nets fans, I mean,
are there Nets fans? Like, aren't they just people that like KD and Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them because they're not that obnoxious yet. And I have this friend, to drop a name, Ronnie Chang, who is a great actor and comedian, and he is so knowledgeable about the NBA and the Brooklyn Nets that I don't mind his fanship. It doesn't interrupt my dedication to the Celtics. And I mean, we're really lucky that we can point to all those banners, because the Nets and the Knicks, it's a paltry show of what we say in Jewish, which are We have a lot of schmatas on the ceiling. They don't have as many schmatas as us hanging from the ceiling.
That was the nicest backhanded compliment to New York fans, and I enjoyed every second of that. All right, I need everybody to go like, subscribe to the Celtics Talk podcast. I know Gary said don't go on StubHub and buy his tickets, but I got a pair up there for like $500 a piece, so I need you to go on StubHub, get those seats. Go check
How them dare you? Or
it was a complimentary pair, and I can't go, so I have to sell them at the highest possible bid. Check out his HBO special. You know where to find Gary. Gary, yes. Honestly, I hope once you're done. When does the tour wind down?
In May.
Okay, so you can come for a Celtics playoff game, and we'll hang out.
I'm trying to go to a game in January against the Wolves or something like that. But I'll keep you posted.
I need to know. Like, I haven't been to the Garden. Like, they locked me in this little. I mean, they're in my basement or this studio. But I will definitely try to get over there. I'm mad that I can't be at the show on Friday night. If it was anything but Celtics Lakers, I could bust out of here. Like, if it was Celtics and Timberwolves.
I totally understand. And we booked this a long time before the Celtics schedule came out, or else I would have made an adjustment. but stay positive and keep believing, and I'll talk to you later this season.
All right, definitely, and I will follow that advice as long as we don't get like Rob Williams is out for a month or something like that. I'll be fine otherwise. Gary Goldman, thank you for your time. Take care.
Love you, brother. Thank you.